think she did say fill in the seats, I believe. How is everyone?
Great.
Done there.
Can I do this without this? Does that work?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Did you say no?
I said no.
You're in the front row. Okay, I'm going to try to do this without the microphone. If you can't hear me, then please, by all means,
come
sit up front. I don't know about you, but I have, after 12 years of being on the city council, chamber president, chamber vice president, I mean, you would think that I'd be used to public speaking, and actually it still scares me to death to stand up in front of a group of people and give a speech or ask me to do a presentation, totally in. To do something like this, I've been literally sweating bullets for like several weeks. So, I think, how many of you have a countdown on your phone or your watch for the end of COVID? Because we have that going on. So, yeah, what is it? 11:59 on the 11th? Yeah, never, I don't know about you, but the COVID-19 was more like COVID-20 for me. I definitely had no problem finding, fork to mouth during COVID, so I'm looking forward to it to be over and moving on. But thank you all very much for being here this evening. Thank you to the Chamber for putting this on, as they do every year. Going back through my notes, realized that this has been 2 years since we've been able to do the State of the City address in person. We didn't try to do it anything through Zoom or anything like that, because it just doesn't work. So I'm glad to be here in person. So thank you to the Canby Area Chamber for hosting and bringing this together. And thank you, I know that they've already been thanked. Thank you to the businesses that are here. Thank you for the businesses in our community that have weathered a really tough 2+ years. And it still managed to stay in business and in many cases thrive. I want to take a moment and thank, introduce some people that are here. I have Council President Tracy Hensley is here this evening. Councilor Sean Barwick. Our city manager, Scott Archer, there in the back of the red. Our city attorney / assistant city manager, who keeps the council relatively out of trouble, Joe Lindsay. Our economic development director, Jamie Stickle. Spencer on our public works team. Spencer, I don't know your last name. That's really bad. It's just Spencer. We just call Spencer. Spencer for hire. Our new member to the Tourism and Economic Development team, Tyler Neiser. Chief Tro, I like saying Chief Tro. Our Canby Police Department, and then Fire Chief Jim Davis. They're all used to sitting at desks, so that's why I think they're standing in the back. As I said, we've not been able to get together like this since 2019, and since that time, we've dealt with fires, ice storms, and of course, an ever-changing virus and pandemic. We have had elections that brought in new leadership at a national, a state, county, and city level. Our city has seen the varying spectrum of divisiveness and togetherness. Mask or not to mask, vaccination or not to vaccinate. Neighbors helping neighbors fight fires, move animals, running supplies, volunteering at the fairgrounds, opening their homes to those without power, lending of generators, heaters, and other light sources, helping neighbors clear down trees and limbs, supporting the line crews that worked hours on end to restore power to our community and surrounding area. To me, that is the Canby that I love to be a part of, and that you love to be a part of. We had our businesses check and adjust their business plans time and time again these past 2 years to keep their doors open for 2 years, and then experience one of the most drastic workforce shortages we have ever experienced. Many persevered with the support of so many Cambie residents, so many of you in this room. Businesses like Columbia Distributing and Wilson Construction purchased lunches many, many times to support their local businesses and restaurants. That is the Cambie that I want to be a part of, and I hope that is the Cambie that you all want to be a part of. In our challenges come learnings. In our struggles come successes. During the past year plus, we have had learnings and successes as a city to be proud of. Here are just a number of those successes and highlights. On an economic development and tourism front, we've had a tremendous amount of development in our industrial park. Amazon has announced their new Cambie location. It's a 500,000 square foot sortation center located at the former Wygant property in the industrial park. It's on Township Road between Molino and Sequoia. This facility will be a big part of their distribution strategy for the North Willamette Valley. They have a 1 million square foot center going in Woodburn. We had Caruso Produce open up. It relocated to the Cambie Pioneer Industrial Park from Tualatin because they outgrew the space and needed a new home. Nearly 100,000 square feet of distribution and warehouse space for produce here in the Pacific Northwest. They bring in items from all over the world and distribute it all over the Northwest. And they have a great pickup center. If you call them, you can get like their, their odd produce. So it doesn't look like the beautiful store-bought ones. But oddly, they taste the same. So
All produce needs a home.
And Caruso has been a family-owned business for 78 years. Stanton Furniture relocated from Tualatin as well. Again, outgrew their area and needed a new place to call home. Their space is about 175,000 square feet of furniture manufacturing and distribution as well. Dragonberry Produce, they have expanded and broke ground on a new building that is approximately 30,000 square feet. Located on Sequoia Parkway, this is the first of two new buildings that will increase their import of produce and goods and export of Northwest products to the global market. Oregon City Brewing Company purchased the former library building in order to create the Cambie Beer Library. Construction has begun on this project, and this will further expand our dining options and be a destination for others from outside of our community. Additionally, our downtown businesses in the past year or so, we've had Siren Song that's located downtown. This restaurant and bar is the proud addition of Matt Morrissey, owner of Wayward Sandwiches. Great food and creative cocktails if you're looking for something after this. King's Farm to Table, also located here downtown. Great selection of delicious food items. And if you've not been in there, take a moment and read the write-ups of the owners. World-class chef producing some world-class food right here in our downtown. And Art-O-Matic, located here in downtown. Local artists on display in classes to expand your creative side, if you have one. We have added a new economic development and tourism coordinator, Tyler Neiser, who I just introduced. We were able to proudly hire him and get him on after his tenure at the Cambie Event Center. We've seen the spectacular return of city-sponsored event, Cambie's Big Night Out and Street Dance, the Halloween Downtown Trick-or-Treat event, Light Up the Night at Waite Park, First Thursday Night, here we are. This summer, Slice of Summer returns, and our Independence Day Celebration Fireworks Show will return. Yes, that's definitely worth applauding. Projects that are underway for the city are numerous. Some of the highlights. The Downtown Arch and Quiet Zone is getting finished later this winter, early spring. I don't know if you've noticed, the archway added the Cambie badge to the arch today, so they were hard at work getting that installed. And that's great to see that getting closer to being completed. The Walnut Street extension in the industrial park, so we're gonna be connecting the industrial park
to 99E coming out of there. And we just had, right now we're dealing, finishing up the right-of-way acquisition is in the final stages, and we're anticipating completion in late 2023. Thank you to Representative James Heeb and Senator Bill Kennemer. We received $2.96 million in funding from the state here in the short session towards that project. Parks are seeing a tremendous amount of focus in the past year and will be in the coming years. We're working on the Parks and Rec Master Plan that's in the process of finishing, and we'll be seeing that come to us at the council in April. We finished a splash pad at Maple Street, which was completed last spring to much fanfare by the children of Camby. We are nearly finished with a pickleball court at Maple Street Park, and thanks to donations, this project has been working ahead of schedule. Locust Street Park has had new playground equipment installed with improvements to the bathrooms, basketball courts, and the completion of a new picnic shelter, which will be completed this spring. I want to thank the Camby Park Advisory Board and our City Parks team for their hard work towards our parks these past 3 years. Much of these upgrades and things, yes, donations, but also you, the citizens, with the park maintenance fee, has really helped bring those projects along as well. We had key new hires, Don Hardy, a new planning director, Eric Kaitola, our new finance director, and then the promotion of George Trode to police chief. Not only that, a new city manager underway, and a new assistant city manager, and. Lots of newness at City Hall. In our police department, public safety continues to be a focus of mine and that of the council. We have continued to fund our police to keep our city safe. As stated earlier, Lieutenant Tro was promoted to police chief following retirement of former Chief Brett Smith. We've had a tremendous increase in calls for service, and yet Camby still ranks in the top 10 safest cities in Oregon. They held their first inaugural Grill and Chill community event at the police department, which was a huge success. They opened up the back doors, had a barbecue, invited the public to come down and meet the police officers and see some of their, I won't say toys, but we'll say equipment. Proactive police work by our officers that have led to many criminal arrests of subjects involved in thefts continue to keep Camby safe. We had a Camby police sergeant recognized as Clackamas County's Crisis Negotiator of the Year. Our strong partnership with Camby School District, Camby Fire District, and surrounding law enforcement agencies give us an advantage to making sure that Camby stays safe, and we support those surrounding areas as well. Challenges, as always, COVID, staff shortages, difficulty hiring, the ice storm, legislative changes, that's a big one, and increase in mental health related calls have all added to our police department's challenges, but yet have remained successful in keeping us safe and sound. On a planning perspective, we're seeing the advancements of the Park Master Plan project with anticipated adoption here in the spring. We've secured the state grant for a housing need analysis and a housing production strategy with a total grant of $100,000. This work is proceeding and is anticipated to be completed by the end of December 2022. And the significance there is we're growing. 2 years ago, going back through and reading my comments for the State of the City address then, I talked about how the Camby was not quite the small town it used to be. You know, we're not quite that feeling of, are we quite a city yet? And what does that look like? And how do we maintain that small town as we grow? And this is part of it. the grant piece for this is going to help with determining our housing, the common phrase of the missing middle, what's low income, what's too much, multifamily, single family homes, etc. What's the right mix for Camby? Planning for the city comprehensive plan is underway, and we're also working on a transportation system plan update that are also all anticipated to be started here in the fall of 2022. So lots of planning. Camby's grown. A lot of these plans haven't been touched in and adjusted for 20 years. It's time to blow the dust off, check and adjust where we're at. Partnership with Canby Utility to underground power lines along South Ivy when that road project begins here later this year and in 2023. We have worked really, really hard to get a lot of county roads under our jurisdiction, South Ivy being one of them. And so we have a partnership with the county to go through. We're going to repave, add sidewalks, and underground power lines. And as we learned last night at our city council meeting, there were fingers crossed that Public Works will be able to sharpen their pencil and crunch some numbers, and we'll be able to underline all the power along South Ivy to 13th. Right now it only goes to 11th, so stay tuned for more on that. On the public works side, like I just said, we transferred four county roads in Canby city limits to the city of Canby. We transferred South Redwood, North Maple, and North Locust to the city of Canby's jurisdiction. So that means when you're driving down those roads, you can no longer yell at the county, you yell at us. We're getting there, we'll get them fixed. Completion of the new 1.25 million wastewater treatment plant, a clarifier project that we've done to that project. And we're also in discussion and getting underway that discussion, at least, of the expansion of our wastewater treatment plant. From a transit standpoint, so our CAT bus, Canby Area Transit, our transit system did not reduce any service during the last year and continued to serve the community despite the challenges of the pandemic. We eliminated fares, but we did not eliminate service. We kept it going as best we could. We started a new local circular route known as the Canby Loop in October. This loop is a fareless service that provides local transportation throughout the city Monday through Friday, 12 hours per day. CAT is also working to install bus shelters and to master plan a new transit building to house our transit offices. On the swim center front, the swim center levy renewed at the ballot last fall by you, the citizens. Thank you for renewing that levy. The swim center has been up and running with a fairly normal schedule since July 1st, even with the challenges of the pandemic. It continues to offer lap swims, public swims, water exercise, swimming lessons, senior exercise times, and serve as the home pool for the competitive swim teams. We have plans on the books for upgrades to the swim center that include improved locker rooms and a community room for events. On the library front, the Canby Library has welcomed nearly 35,000 in-person visits to the library since we reopened in July, and many, many book curb checkouts. Our door counts are steady and continue to demonstrate the demand the community has to access the facility, including the many meeting spaces, as well as our contemporary and robust collection of materials. On the Urban Renewal Agency front, we took advantage of a historically low interest rates and refinanced our remaining Urban Renewal Agency debt, resulting in a savings of over $6 million for the remaining life of that district. URA Commission currently is considering options on utilizing these savings to either work on other projects or look at further ways to reduce debt. These successes are from a period of challenges, a time of checking and adjusting to the times. We have much to plan for in the coming years that will require very tough decisions by the City Council and by the citizens of Canby. We have to discuss housing needs. Single, multi-family, what is the price point? What does that look like? Where are we going to grow? How is that going to develop? Transportation, are we looking at multimodal? Roads being improved, discussion on adjusting the road maintenance fee, tolling that's being proposed along 205 and I-5. Industrial park development, how do we infill? Do we expand it? Do we leave it as is? Park and recreation. Trails, recreation and recreation complexes, dog parks, and the funding of these community enhancements. Water, power, and sewer continue to be basic services that we do provide and need to continue to provide. And that's just to name a few. The Canby Way has meant different things to different people over the years. To me, the Canby Way is the community that does not divide. It's the one that comes together in times of need to help a neighbor. Let's be that Canby all the time, please. Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for the time, and God bless you all. 10 years, that's a first, so I appreciate that. Thank you. I will take questions if anybody has any or comments. It seems unusual, but yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's you, yep.
Ball fields at city parks.
Yes, sir.
Any plan in the park district to turf them, to do something? I mean, I'm the president of the Rebel Softball Organization.
Okay.
So just we just bought some new machinery to help service the Institute Field, and just curious about where that's at.
Good. I'll slip you $20 for an easy the easy question start off. I appreciate it. So yes, that is a huge conversation. And when you say city ball fields, I think that's like three fields.
There's Community Park, there's Legacy, and then there's the two of them.
So you're talking about the Legacy soccer field?
No, Legacy Park they have a little tiny.
Is that little tiny field part?
Little
of,
tiny
is it?
One that's right
on. See, 10 years. I'm still learning stuff. I know that that is part of the conversation that we've been having when we look at, and that's what I'm anticipating coming back from the Parks Master Plan, is to look at some of those pieces. I know that the biggest challenge that we have in regards to the ball field piece, one is the number of them, and two, that they're located on school. 90% of our fields are on school grounds. Right. And I know that with the recent passing of the school bond, that they are looking at doing some upgrades to the fields over at Ackerman, and I think the fields over at Baker Prairie.
Yep.
So that'll be a win. Now, I don't know if that's including turf on those or not. On our end of things, we have quickly done some major upgrades to Maple Street Park, I think, with the pickleball courts, the splash pad. I mean, that's really become probably our premier park. And so I know that we still want to make investments into that park to keep it improving and making that marquee park for us. So more to come on that as that master plan comes out. And so when that's Scott, I'm going to look to you. Is the, because I believe there's another community meeting regarding the park master plan that's going to be coming up. So am I right on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This spring, essentially.
Okay. So. Yeah, so definitely that would be a meeting to come to and see that and weigh in on that.
I'll just add really quickly, just so that people know and so you know, the Rebels program just invested almost $14,000 in a new piece of equipment to maintain Maple Street Park, in addition to the other city parks that we have the girls playing softball on. And we got it from Eugene Country Club, and it's got all the bells and whistles. If you ever want to see it, I'd be happy to Maple Street Park and
okay.
Clean up the shed and take a look, but we're continuing to invest in making that surface as good as we can, in addition to adding dirt and working with the Parks Department.
Thank you. One of my perks of my job, besides paying to be mayor, is I get to play with the equipment. So like I get to sit in fire trucks. I've sat in police cars. I will definitely be down in,
you know,
yeah. I sat in the front seat of the police cars, okay? Thank you. Jeez, tough crowd. Yes.
I just have one, well, I have two questions, but one question, you mentioned roads, thank you. Does Camby plan to fix some of their roads? I know 13, we've got some chuck holes that have done some damage to cars, and they've never been this bad that I can ever remember. Do you have a great plan? I mean, I know new roads are coming in, but the old roads really need work.
So, glad that Spencer's here. I see you taking a mental note. Yes, so that's the challenge with growth, right? So as we grow, we build, we bring more roads in into the city. I travel down 13th, every day to and from work. That's my main thoroughfare. And yes, I think I need a new alignment from the chuck hole the other day. We have an extensive paving plan every summer that we do. I'm not sure where Southeast 13th is on that list right now, but I know that we will be doing a lot of paving here coming up this summer, and we have a map on our website that has that laid out. So that's one of the major things that are
Public Works Director does every year is they monitor where those roads are degrading the fastest. Because we know that they get to a certain point of degrade and then the fall off becomes that much more rapid. So I know that part of it's the weather right now. They can't go out and coal patch the chuck holes because then the water just kicks that all out. So I don't know where 13th is, but I know that we have a lot, almost a, like 1.5 miles of paving, or is it 2 miles? 2 miles of paving. And that's what I was saying earlier too, that you know we currently have our road maintenance fee, and it was pointed out to us, our, the chair of our planning commission pointed out that we're paying $5, but we're only getting about $3.40, I think you said last night, about towards being able to do that. So our dollars aren't going as far every year to be able to do the paving pieces. So that is something that we've got to look at as a council, what is that going to look like coming forward. So yes, we are addressing those. The stretches that were the Cruddy County roads that we brought in, I'm sorry, did I say Cruddy?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Some of that is, those roads will get improved as they get, as development occurs along those roads. And then some of those other pieces then we'll be able to go back through and address as those start to get developed and brought into the city. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know what happened with the plan to repay Highway 99?
Yes, that is going to happen this summer.
Correct.
Next summer.
Both summers.
Joe, you're making me nervous.
I know. They're trying to extend, you know, they came in for a noise variance.
Yes.
They're asking for a different one now. So I think that means they're moving it 6 months further than you just.
Okay. So the 99E paving project is going to happen. We've seen the plans for that. They are going to go from basically Rite Aid down through town down to Burke Parkway. So that is going. That is the plan for them to do that. Now
we don't have any control.
Pardon me?
We don't have any control.
We don't. I sit on two, soon to be three, different transportation committees, and ODOT's plans and whatnot are constantly shifting. And unfortunately, it depends on money and where that's been allocated, and does that need to change? And you know, did some, you know, another road wash out at the coast that they've got? So sometimes it's constantly shifting. But as far as we know, we're still on the books to have it done. Good question. Yes.
Are there any plans to add any playground equipment or anything to Timber Park? Yeah.
At this time, that's not been a discussion. I know that there's there's a number of young families that have moved in there, and I know that that's a popular park to use. That's something I can bring up with the park advisory board and see if that's something that's, you know.
Because it is a great park, but there's nothing for the kids to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, what park is that?
That's the.
By the gun club, that new housing development there.
Yeah, okay.
Good question. Yes?
I know it's a topic, but can you just briefly talk about the tolling of 205? I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, look at the time. I gotta go. So last night we had a presentation at City Council meeting last night that was
an hour and a half long.
Just because we've had a lot of conversation as a City Council about it, but not an actual like what's going to happen, what's it going to look like, what's the plan. And I don't think ODOT has a plan. That's the short of it.
Don't get the comment. We'll build it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of last night. There was a, you know, we're going to build it and then we'll measure. You know, and they're talking, okay, so ODOT, so 205 is being looked at to be expanded. They're looking to add a lane northbound, southbound, improve Abernathy Bridge, and then to pay for that. So, back up. They're first going to go into debt to build the project, build the gantries for the tolling, and then they're going to set toll rates and then eventually pay back what they borrowed to do the project. They're looking at any, and it's congestion pricing, not tolling, okay? It's congestion pricing. And it's going to be, right now the initial numbers are 60 cents to $2 per gantry, so there's going to be two tolling gantries, one by Abernathy Bridge, and then one, and then right there by Tualatin River on 205. That'll be the first stretch that's going to be tolled. The second stretch is going to be I-5 just north of the Rose Quarter down through the curves will be the second toll here. But we're going to go first as a test. That's what I can tell you. There is a lot of, so that's the main part. There is a big conversation that myself, the mayor of Malala, Oregon City, Milwaukee, and Gladstone, I believe anyone else, and West Lynn, are part of a committee looking at the traffic diversion piece that will occur, and what is that impact gonna look like. Their initial first study of the diversion didn't take into account much of the outlying areas around Canby. When I worked in Sandy, if there was an accident, I mean, the traffic on the back, or all the back roads was much heavier, and that wasn't taken into consideration. So I think they're taking a pause because there's so much pushback especially from Clackamas County. And so they're putting up together another kind of committee to be a consultant, kind of a advisory group to ODOT and then the OTC. So it's, I think their timeline's not realistic, and I think it's just, yeah, I'm not real excited about it. And it's hard, I'm one of the few people that go into the meeting able to, like, I guess, raise a stake about it, because statistically looking at things, about 70-80% of Clackamas County residents that are employed go to Multnomah County, they go to Washington County. So we're footing that bill almost entirely. Whereas something along I-5 covers way more of a diverse population of than what 205 will cover. But more to come. I know I could probably go a little bit longer on it, but yeah, it's not a topic I'm real excited about. And it seems to be a foregone conclusion for those too big to fail kind of arguments, and it's going to happen. There's not a lot you can do about it, and you know, so we're trying to figure out how to make it less sucky for Clackamas County. It seems to be the way we're going after it. So, yeah.
So how are they going to track it? How are they going to implement the whole thing? I don't know if any of you remember when going across the Interstate Bridge years and years and years ago, you threw change into a barrel. So how are they going to?
There's either going to be tracker, like the tracker on your car, or it'll be a picture of the license plate in Mammalia. Yeah. The technology's gotten so much better. I mean, I grew up in Ohio, and you're throwing change as you go on the turnpike, you know. And if you throw it hard enough, you don't need as much change. Yeah, right, for sure.
No,
what's that? Yeah, it's, well, and that's the diversion piece we were talking about last night was, I mean, you're going to see, you can't improve 99E, you can't widen it, you know, so you're going to put more cars going down it. It already gets bottlenecked and jammed up if there's an accident, right? So then everybody's filtering off 205 through the back roads to 99, you know, and even was talking with some businesses in Aurora. They're concerned about what that's going to do coming through Aurora. You know, so now there's all of a sudden the
Ellington, is it Ellington or
Ellen Road.
Ellen Road that they're talking about improving? Is that because, you know, is that now the work through? So, you know, I always, like, traffic is like water. It's going to find the path of least resistance. And so, and unfortunately, I think 99E is going to become that path. And so how do we prepare for that?
We use the train tracks, but
can't we
go with
it? We just put a train. Yeah, just block the train. I think it might be worth pursuing our own tolling in, you know, 99, like we all get, you know. Yeah, we just get, and we
maybe
can get
all those
circles. And we, there could be some major road improvements there, so. Good.
Well, you're saying it's coming, regardless, you know, just a matter of when.
Well, it seems to be coming. I know that there is a petition for a referral vote going around. So, what is it, notollarmy.com? And so there is a group that's trying to get it to where it'll go to the voters to vote on. So we'll see how that comes together. So what else?
That's a wrap.
It might be. Well, I'll wrap up. Thank you to the businesses for being here. Thank you to the chamber. This has been great. Thank you all for being here this evening. I'll be hanging out. If you want to come up and ask a non-public question, that's fine too. So I'll hang out. So thank you all very much for being here. Appreciate it.